Well, let's turn first for a reading in Matthew chapter 5. We won't necessarily deal with Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16 in the course of the sermon. But since we have a very short reading from two verses in Proverbs, chapters 13 and 14, a little bit more as a parallel passage and accompanying set of verses in Matthew chapter 5. And of course, boys and girls, you remember that Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 is our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. So we're right here at the beginning of that. And in verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So there's Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. Then a couple of verses in Proverbs 13, verse 14. First, it says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." And then on your pew Bible, in the same page, chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." So we'll look at those two verses this morning. Well, let's call on God in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its reading, for its hearing, and for its preaching. And use, we pray, Lord, a modest ministry of that word to accomplish mighty things in our life, that our hope and trust and confidence might always be in your grace, in your spirit, and in our Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. So make it so as you know is best, and fill our open hands, fill our hearts, and fill our minds as we look to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, my dad always said to me, "Son," he said, "never underestimate the value of free advice." I guess that was some homespun Ohio Valley wisdom. And as it turns out, when said free advice is good advice, well, then it's quite valuable, right? Of course, for many, myself included, when free advice is offered, sometimes the shoulders drop, maybe the eyes roll, and there's a low sigh of breath, sort of a, all of that indicates a kind of a thanks but no thanks attitude. I don't need your free advice. But here's the thing. When something comes to us that's free, whether it's advice or whether it's admonition, if that advice is good, if that is right, if that advice is true, if that advice is faithful, if that advice is needed, well, then all the more benefit is there to receive free advice when it costs us nothing other than by God's grace to receive it and to hear it and to act on it. Because if it's any of those things, good, right, true, necessary, needed, etc., not to mention all of them, then we would certainly be wise to receive it, especially when it's free. As we press on here in our Family Visitation 2024 series of sermons, as passages from the Proverbs, we have two verses that stand alone, one in chapter 13, one in chapter 14, and we're bringing them together to look at each of them as sort of two sides of the same coin. Now that they're brought together, if you look at them in your pew Bible, they're on the same set of open pages there. These verses are short. They're crisp. They're insightful. They're important. They're seasonable. And best of all, for everyone here this morning, myself included, they're free. Free advice, and they're free admonition for all of us. So let's keep that in mind as we come to look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14, and chapter 14, verse 12. I forgot to tweak something in the sermon theme here, so my fault on that. It says, these words of wisdom provide us with counsel and correction, is what I think is printed there. But I tweaked that and then failed to make that change. It can read counsel and correction, but for the sake of how things are in my manuscript, these words of wisdom provide us with advice and admonition. So advice and counsel are sort of parallel to each other, as are admonition and correction. So as such, we note two things then. In chapter 13, verse 14, the advice there is purposeful. And in chapter 14, verse 12, the admonition there is preventative. So as things open up, let's note in the first place, the advice is purposeful. Chapter 13, verse 14. So if you look at that verse with me for a minute, a quick overview here. The key in chapter 13, verse 14 to seeing the purpose here is found in the word that. That's in the middle of the verse, right? The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. And the word for teaching here in this verse is one of those Hebrew words that sometimes comes into the English language. It's the Hebrew word Torah. Maybe you've heard that word Torah before. It's Psalm 19, verse 7. There it's translated as law. The Torah, or the law of the Lord, is perfect, reviving the soul. And the benefit for the purpose here is highlighted with God's Torah coming to us as instruction or teaching of the wise. And it's the purposeful is that transition, like I mentioned, with that word, that. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. So having said that, let me say something to you for a minute here, Jacob. As you have taken this step to become a member of this church and a professing member of Jesus Christ, may Proverbs 13, verse 14 be a word of life and a fountain of life for you. May it be a resource that God blesses to play a wonderful and important role in your life as a follower of the Lord Jesus. So keep this verse in mind. Keep this verse in heart. Keep it with you. Use it as a resource for prayer. Use it as a resource for meditation. Receive what it says. And in the end, like I'll make clear for all of us this morning, this word comes to you as well, Jacob, as a promise that God provides for you to stand firm upon and be steadfast and immovable. And as you do those things, with God's good blessing, you will see Him fulfill His purpose for your life. Not just today, but in the days, weeks, months, and years we pray are yet in store for you. So if we go to the passage and we look at that word, the word that, there's an interesting prepositional phrase with a verb that's behind that translation of that here. So literally, it would mean something like the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn or to turn aside or to turn away. So while the translation that is somewhat unusual, it captures kind of the spirit of what is being said here in this verse. And even with that word that, it carries the force or the weight of so that or in order that. So look at the verse. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life so that or in order that one may turn away from the snares of death. So here's the point with making that kind of maybe a pedantic observation. God has something specific in mind for each and every one of us as the teaching of the wise comes to us. So boys and girls, for example, young people, we heard that fifth commandment earlier in God's law. And when the fifth commandment comes to the boys and girls and the young people in our congregation, each and every one of them would do well to listen to what that fifth commandment says. Honor your father and your mother. Because when that word is heard, and when that word is followed through on, then, like the fifth commandment promises, it will be well with you, and you will live long in the land or the earth that the Lord your God is giving to you. And that fifth commandment comes in as a means by which God uses in the lives of children and boys and girls and young people to fulfill what it says at the end of the verse, that one may turn away from the snares of death. After all, boys and girls, young people, and I hope every boy and girl and young person here this morning has this confession. I hope they know that mom and dad desire good and godly things for them. So boys and girls, young people, you can trust your parents if you know that about them. You can be confident in the care that they're looking to provide for you. And you can look to them for the love and for the support that you know you need as the days unfold. But even more so than being able to trust mom and dad that way, all of the children and all of the young people here this morning, I hope you know as well, that even more so, you can trust God to be a faithful Father and give you good wisdom by His Holy Spirit and by His Word as you look to Him for those things along the way of life. But of course, this confession about the teaching of the wise being a fountain of life, it's not only for the covenant youth, is it? Now, this teaching and this word here in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14, it applies to all of us, and it's a word that God has given for all of us. So let me say it like this. Any wise teaching that's according to the Word of God will be a fountain of life for the protection of everyone who hears it and who follows through on it. So unless someone is a know-it-all, and some people are know-it-alls, we all can be a little bit of that, but some people are know-it-alls. So unless someone's a know-it-all and they think that they don't need any teaching or instruction of the wise, then let's ask God for the wisdom that we need each and every day as His Word comes to us. We need teaching, congregation, that is a lamp to our feet and that's a light to our path. And we need teaching that points us to the Savior Jesus Christ and announces to us the good news of the gospel promise that everyone who believes in Him receives a full measure of needed and forgiving grace, that everyone who believes in Him rests in His finished work unto the sure hope of everlasting life, and that everyone who looks to Him with a believing heart goes then to live for His praise and for His glory each and every day in all things at all times. Not doing that perfectly, but depending upon God for grace and guidance along the way as well. Let's go back to that word teaching for a minute here in verse 14. Like I said, it's that word Torah. So it could also be translated as instruction or guidance or even that word law. Maybe we could give it a paraphrased definition and call Torah something like established instructions. Law, guidance. Maybe we could even say something like faithful words to live by. Or we could call Torah something like important information to keep in hand. Or we could even call Torah something like rules from God that He calls us to live according to. And that word Torah can even be used as a summary or a shorthand for the Ten Commandments that we hear each and every Sunday. So with all of those definitions in view for what the teaching of the wise is, this Torah that God gives to us, no wonder it's called a fountain of life, right? Because think about it like this. With God's blessing, Torah, or the teaching of the wise, it comes to us to refresh. It comes to us to renew. It comes to us to restrain. And it comes to us to reorient the way we think, that it might not be horizontal, earthly centered, but that it might be vertical, focused on God who reigns above, upon Christ who is at the right hand of the majesty on high, and upon the Holy Spirit who gives us that unction and ministry each day. So let me slow down for a minute and say this. If you're anything like me, and I really don't think all of us are that different. If you're anything like me, then you need hard work by God's grace to really desire the Word. Because there's a lot in my heart that doesn't want to desire the Word. I have to make it a focus, and I have to ask God for grace, and I have to be intentional by His mercy to focus on what it is the Word has to say to me and to receive the Torah or the instruction of the wise that God has. Because my first impulse, just be honest, my first impulse is to do things my own way, and my first impulse is to want my own point of view to be what carries the day in the decisions I make. I don't often find myself with my first impulse wanting to look to the teaching of the wise because I know it's a fountain of life. And by God's grace, I come to that point often, but that's not always the first impulse of my heart. So I need the teaching of the wise to come my way regularly, and I need the teaching of the wise to come my way with God's blessing upon it. Because if that doesn't happen, then there is no fountain by which I can be renewed. There's no fountain by which I can be reoriented. There's no fountain to refresh, and there's no fountain to restrain. And I'll find myself stuck in some kind of a spiritual rut. Not to mention the fact that if the teaching of the wise doesn't come my way, then I'll be in the dark. I'll lose my footing. I'll go off course. And I'll fail to finish the race unless the teaching of the wise comes to me as a fountain of life so that my feet might turn away from the snares of death. But here's the thing. Even as bleak as that might look when I consider things in and of myself, that's not where my focus is. And I have every confidence, because Jesus Christ is my faithful Savior, that He won't let any of those things happen to me. He's my chief prophet and teacher. And He has revealed to me, according to that promise of God, the counsel and will of God for my salvation. And if you join me and Jacob as a professing member in Jesus Christ, or even someone who's a baptized member yet, who truly believes in Jesus and rests in the comfort and assurance that He provides, well, then that's your confession too. And God will not let you, for the sake of Christ, slip away or fall through the cracks and come to ruin. So go to the Lord Jesus for the teaching of the wise that you need, congregation. That will provide you with strength along the way. It will be sort of fuel for the fire that keeps burning in your heart. God will use the teaching of the wise to give you safety in the midst of temptation. He will bless that teaching of the wise to provide you with security and stability when the waves of the ocean splash up all around you. And He will use that teaching of the wise, not just in terms of moral conduct or a code to live by, but He will use that teaching of the wise to bring you the gospel promise, so that through faith alone in Christ alone, you receive that salvation that He has accomplished and that He provides in fullest measure for everyone who trusts in Him. And then Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 is what you keep in mind. You keep it in your back pocket, so to speak, knowing that He who began a good work in you will bring it to its completion on the day of Jesus Christ. And then this verse comes to be fulfilled in your life as all of those snares of death are avoided and Christ keeps you secure as a sheep in His flock. So in verse 14 then, what we have is a promise that God makes in Christ to every single believer in the living Lord Jesus. And so if we read verse 14 as a promise, a personal promise, here's what it would sound like. For you, God says, the teaching of the wise, my Torah, is a fountain of life. And I have given it to you so that you may turn away from the snares of death and not be entangled in anything that will catch you or trap you, but that you might walk and run freely and that you might finish the race that you have started. That's what it says, something like that. So that's a word that we all need to hear, isn't it? It's a word that it is like, if I can use a couple of illustrations here, Proverbs 13, verse 14, when cast as a promise, it's like a map that God gives to us as we enter a minefield. And with this map, we know where all of the mines are located, and we navigate our way through the minefield with safety and security, because we have a map and we're not going to step on anything that's going to detonate and blow us apart. Or maybe we could even go further in the same kind of analogy and picture this verse as sort of a team of scouts that goes ahead of us. These are men who are skilled with munitions and they're a bomb disposal unit, and they actually dig out the mines and disable them so that it doesn't matter where we go. Those things have been removed and they are no longer a threat for us. And God shows us that the way has been cleared by Him, and those snares of death can no longer come against us. Because let's face it, with that word snares being plural, and with snares of death being dangerous, what we're being told is that there are lots of things in this life that not only can come against us, but that will come against us if we fail to receive the teaching of the wise, which is a fountain of life. I mean, things like cultural trends, that can destroy someone's faith if they give heed to those rather than the teaching of the wise. Something like peer pressure, and not just for boys and girls or young people, but even adults can succumb to peer pressure. Something like peer pressure can be a snare of death, as we think it's uncool to be a follower of Christ, or we think that other people have a better life as an unbeliever without all of the, as we would say it, all of the restrictions and restraints that are upon Christian people. More on that in a minute. Unbelieving worldviews that offer the attraction and the enticement of a life with no holds barred. Various temptations that we all face each and every day. Yours are different than mine, and mine are different than yours. Sussy online activity that a person can engage in that can lead them astray and be a snare of death. Even someone being lazy or someone else being overindulgent, neglecting the modesty and moderation that God's Word requires, can be a snare of death. And of course, when we think of things that way, the teaching of the wise that God provides for us is not a killjoy congregation. God doesn't want His covenant community people to sort of be dour, as if we're all coming from a funeral and we have no happiness and we have no joy. God's commandments don't come to remove our fun or to take away things that we can enjoy. But God's commandments come to us in the midst of this world with all of its temptations and trappings, and they serve as a preservative. They serve as a fountain of life. They're a light that shows us where the snares of death are hidden so that we might turn away from them. So take in the teaching of the Word of God, congregation, not just this morning, but as often as you hear it in its preaching, as often as you hear it in Sunday school or in catechism class, as often as you hear it in your personal or family devotions. Take in the Word of God and keep it with you. Keep it with you for guidance. Keep it with you for wisdom. Keep it with you for instruction. And keep it with you as it focuses your true faith on Jesus Christ, who saves and upholds and keeps secure everyone who trusts in Him. As we continue, let's note in the next place that this teaching of the wise in chapter 14, verse 12, still carrying that same phrase, the teaching of the wise, but here it says in chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. So here, the admonition that it gives us is a preventative. And if you look at the verse with me for a minute, the word way at the first part of the verse is a person's own way. So it's not the teaching of the wise, which is a fountain of life, but it's not the way of wisdom, and it's the way of folly. There is a way that seems right to a man. And the proverb points all of that out by saying its end is the way to death. So this way described at the beginning of Proverbs 14, verse 12, is not the way that leads to life, like what we saw with the teaching of the wise in chapter 13, verse 14. Maybe we could paraphrase verse 12 here in chapter 14 like this. A know-it-all is a fool, and if the know-it-all follows his own way, he's going to find it to be a dead end. That's what the verse is saying, something like that. And if you look at the verse, as far as it goes, it's pretty straightforward. It pictures a person who is looking at a way that seems good according to his own judgment and his own personal reasoning. And in that way, this person here described in chapter 14, verse 12, is choosing the way he thinks is best, no matter what else might be part of the discussion, because in his estimation, it's the right way. So maybe let's pause for a minute. In general, people are described in the beginning of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, by believing and following a way that seems right to themselves. And even Christian people and church people can be described with the words at the beginning of verse 12. Sometimes Church people go their own way when it comes to doctrinal convictions. Sometimes church people go their own way when it comes to theological views that they adopt and promote. Sometimes church people go their own way when it comes to the involvement they have in the church and the kind of commitment they're willing to make to the body they belong to. I mean, it's a smorgasbord, dude. I can pick and choose whatever I want, whether I want a little or whether I want a lot. That's the way that seems right to me. But let me ask this. Would anyone here ever ignore or not care about the owner's manual that their car comes with? I'm not saying we should be, I'm not familiar with the owner's manual in my car, but I would never intentionally ignore it. Because the owner's manual for my car tells me how it functions properly and how it needs to be taken care of. Would anybody here ignore the warning label on a bottle of Drano and take a big swig at night before you go to bed? Would anybody here not care what the manufacturer recommendations are for their sewing machine or for their dishwasher? Of course not. I mean, maybe in a pinch we can get away with ignoring the official authorized instructions for how something works. In a pinch, we can get away with that. But that's not a long-term solution. We want to use the machines and the equipment we have in the right way. Well, in a similar fashion, when God says to us, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death, He's giving us an officially authorized viewpoint on how we are to look at the judgment we render and the decisions we make. So let me pause for a minute for some diagnostics here. Are you prone to going your own way, to doing your own thing, and to thinking your own thoughts when it comes to life? I mean, let's just be honest, right? We all do that in some fashion. Some people do it more than others. Some people do it less than others. But we all do it in some fashion. And the reason the correction or the admonition is here in verse 12 is because of that very reason. Even a best case scenario is that we tend to use our own judgment and that we give in to temptations because of our own desires. In fact, I would think that we're all slower to receive God's word and God's way than we should be, right? I mean, after all, our own way is so enticing, isn't it? There's no submission to the word of God that's required. There's no need to compromise anything that we want because we can have it all, we think. We can feed our selfish desires when we go our own way. We don't need other people to approve of what we do when we go our own way. And we don't even need to bother with walking by faith rather than sight when we go our own way. I mean, if you're a child or a teenager, you might think, parents? What do they know? I'll go the way that seems right to me. Or if someone is in a marriage, maybe they think, my spouse? What claim do they have on what I do? I've sacrificed enough for them. I think I'm old enough to do what I think is best. Well, if any of that turns out for us, even if it's bad when we go our own way, we typically tend to say, well, God is patient. He's forgiving, and I'm thankful for that. So I've got some wiggle room even when my bad decisions let myself and other people down. But all of those excuses, and so many others like them, they readily and easily come to mind when we give place to choosing our own way, don't they? A way that seems right to us. And whether we're 8 or whether we're 80, then we have to admit that in some fashion, that's the battle we face. That's the battle that we fight. So resisting the way that we think is right, which is outlined here for us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, resisting that way is important. Resisting that way is necessary. And resisting that way means following the way of God's wisdom instead. Because congregation, we're in a spiritual war as we sort these things out. It's a fight that we have against the world, against the flesh, and against the devil. And we need God's grace to guide us. We need that full armor of God described in Ephesians chapter 6 to protect us. We need to press on in prayer as we display a humble dependence upon the Lord each day. And we need to look to His Word rather than to our own desires for what we stand in need of. Because in one regard, we need the strength that only God can supply. And in another regard, God promises a full measure of that in Jesus Christ. That's a word to know, congregation. That's a word to believe. That's a word to receive as a firm foundation. And that's a word to keep with you as you go into the week that lies ahead and into the rest of the life that the Lord has for you. Because after all, the only other option described for us here is the way that leads to death. It's a way that's not wise, but it's a way that's foolish. Death is the only other destination if we don't follow the word and pathway of life that God provides for us. You know, my dad used to tell me, he'd say, "Son, you can save yourself a whole lot of trouble if you learn from other people's mistakes." Think about that. You can save yourself a whole lot of trouble if you learn from other people's mistakes. Now, there's a lot of truth in that. And we've probably all seen people who have gone their own way and have either come to a disaster or have come to where things just absolutely didn't work out for them. Let me begin to wind down like this. It says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." That word death is actually in the plural. But its end is the way to deaths. The word ways, rather, is in the plural. It's ways to death. So there's these multifaceted pathways that open up before us when we choose our own will and when we choose our own direction. And all of them, all of those ways, lead to death. In other words, God is saying there's danger ahead when it comes to choosing and going in ways that you think are right rather than the ways I have said to go. For example, maybe some people say, "I'll just fluff off my church attendance. It's not that big of a deal. No harm can come." Maybe another person says, "I'll just cheat a little on my marriage vows. After all, I deserve some pleasure too, don't I?" Maybe another person says, "I'll just steal a little bit of time from my employer. It doesn't matter because I'm underpaid anyway." Maybe someone in school says, "I'll just cheat on this test coming up that I'm not prepared for, and it's not really that big of a deal anyway." Maybe another person says, "I'll just spread that rumor that I heard because it's probably true anyhow." Maybe another person says, "I'll just indulge this pet sin that I love and that I have and that I keep, and no one else is ever going to know the difference." Maybe another person says, "I'll just keep this judgmentalism that I have in my heart because I don't really like that other person anyway." Maybe another person says, "I'll just keep stirring the pot at work or in my family or wherever I go. I'll keep on ruffling the feathers until I get my own way because persistence pays off." Maybe another person says, "I'll just continue in my shady business practices because there's a big payoff that's coming and the end justifies the means." All of those things and so many others would be examples of a way that seems right to a man, but those ways end in death. So let me close out by saying this. If any of us here this morning, myself included, are tempted along those lines or along other lines, then let me offer the following advice and the following admonition. Four things to ask God for in prayer so that you don't go your own way, which is a multifaceted way to death. Ask God to give you a love for His teaching and for His rules. Ask God to thereby give you wisdom in order to show yourself to be wise according to His word, and in order to show yourself to be alive for His praise. Ask God in both of those things, not for the sake of your own name, but ask God to help you be a good example and a godly influence to other people in your family, to other people in church, to other people in the community, and to other people that you come into contact in other areas of life. And then ask God in the fourth place for the humility to be a courageous witness for Jesus Christ as you point others to the same Savior that you believe in and to the same Savior that you belong to. And as you stand firm on that foundation, as you rest content in that salvation, and as you are confident that the Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. As it comes to us, we pray that you would bless it. And as we keep it with us in the week that lies ahead, may we walk according to what you have said. And may we think through prayerfully and humbly the teaching of the wise and the words of warning, counsel, and correction that you provide. In Jesus' name, amen.